everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast. Andy Schmidt is not with us this week. He's on assignment. That's not true. We kicked him out because we're talking social media. It's Meredith Nudo who handles the social media for Comics Experience. Meredith is a social media manager, a writer, and editor, amongst other interests and talents. And Meredith, I really appreciate you making time to do this for the show.
Thanks, Joey. I'm happy to be here.
We were talking a little bit before we kicked off about social media as a topic, and it's something that Andy and I have kind of touched on and off, just in terms of maybe how to talk to professionals, how to use different platforms. But with you, the initial idea that we had talked about kind of internally was just kind of maybe a 101, how you approach it, and it seemed like this was a good opportunity to just kind of give an overall kind of look at it. And you had actually given talks before, so you had some prepared ideas to walk through. And, you know, we usually take questions from listeners, so if anybody has any social media questions, you can obviously at Comic Experience as you on Twitter for Comic Experience. And if you have any other questions, by all means, info@comicsexperience.com, and we'll talk about it on the show. But I don't know if you want to kick it off with a particular topic, but, you know, for me, trying to wrap my arms around making comics, but also interacting with people, having a website. Do I like Twitter? Do I like Facebook? Should I have Facebook? Should I have Twitter? Should I have it starts to be such a difficult thing to kind of wrap your arms around. You know, my default position from years ago was kind of do the thing that you like. If you like Twitter, great, be on Twitter. And I don't know that kind of logic holds true anymore, but I'm curious for you as a starting point, how you think about social media, or how you would recommend somebody making comics think about social media.
Well, I actually do tend to push I do what I like.
Right.
Approach, actually. Something that I like to tell people, and oil and gas people especially like hearing this, you really don't have to be on social media if you don't want to be. It just makes it harder.
Right.
These days, it is so common, and it is so helpful, and it is so useful, and it is such a valuable networking tool. But at the same time, you also have your own boundaries to consider, too. Not everybody wants to be online. Not
sure.
Everybody wants to be bombarded. A lot of people really like their privacy, and they'll only use it sporadically. And that's okay, too. You just have to understand what it is you may or may not be missing out on if you choose to not go that route. So
right.
I'm never going to push social media as a one-size-fits-all solution. Like I said, when I was doing this for oil and gas and medical, a lot of people were like, you know what? This really just doesn't work for us. This doesn't help our brand any. We don't really feel like this gets the word out the way we were hoping it to, you know, and that's fine. That's legitimate. But obviously doing this podcast, I'm going to assume that the people listening do actually want to know about it.
Right.
And do actually want to do it. So I think probably the two to three most valuable would be Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr in terms of networking. I have never really seen much of a presence on Facebook. Not Facebook. Wow. Good job, me. On LinkedIn. I haven't seen much of a presence on LinkedIn. I think unless you have a day job as like a graphic designer or something and you want to add to it, if you're a writer and you want to say, hey, I also write comics on the side, but I wouldn't bother so much with LinkedIn. I get asked about LinkedIn a lot. And
well, that makes sense.
It's good for, doctors, lawyers, business professionals, things like that, but not so much with comics.
I think that's
so
a
I'm
good...
gonna focus...
I was just going to say, yeah, that sounds like a good perspective, and I think that's been my experience, too. I can think of maybe two or three comics people that have contacted me on LinkedIn. It's just not quite the platform for it.
Right, because I think given that comics is such a visual-oriented medium, that the more visually-oriented social media platforms would be the ones to focus on.
Right.
But in terms of all the three, Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr, I noticed that Twitter and Tumblr are probably the two most active. I still see activity a lot on Facebook, but I think that the format of Twitter helps the conversation go better, and I think that the microblogging format of Tumblr is really good for artists in terms of reblogging and sharing. But I'm going to probably, I guess, start off with maybe some basic do's and don'ts.
Yeah,
About that.
that sounds great.
Okay. So all of these do's and don'ts that I'm going to be discussing will apply pretty much across the board. And I think the number one thing that I like to always push to is to be courteous and professional because people like sincerity. And they like respect even more. So, I mean, I'm not saying don't be sarcastic. I mean, if you think about it, good sarcasm has an undercurrent of sincerity to it.
Right.
Think about it. So, like Joey, we were talking about earlier, in comedy, there's a concept called punching up, where, if you punch down, that makes you a bully. It makes you hurt people that are already hurting, making life even harder for people that have it hard. But punching up kind of says, hey, we're all in this together. Let's do it. Let's be awesome together. Let's create community. And I think that that concept has applications far outside of comedy. I think comics, if you would like to launch your comic career or improve it, I think that going into it with an attitude of punching up, that you want to build a community, be a part of a community, learn things, get to know people. You might necessarily make something with them, but that doesn't matter. You can still make friends. You can still, just because somebody may not necessarily help you in your career, that doesn't mean that they're not worth knowing.
Sure.
And that's something that I like to push too, is don't always converse with fellow creators. Media people are your friends. People in other industries are your friends. There's a lot of overlap between comics and games, comics and animation, comics and toys. We're actually following Funko. because they still have a lot of, there's a lot of overlap culturally there.
Sure.
To stay part of the conversation. I like to retweet things sometimes by animators.
Right.
Because I still think that comic book artists and writers and editors can learn a lot about movement and how to take a moving image and capture what a moving image feels like in a static image. So I think the interdisciplinary approach to who you follow and who you talk to will enrich your ability to make things. I also really like to push think before you post.
Right.
I say this as somebody who quite often chronically has foot and mouth disease outside of comic book series, obviously.
Right.
But, take a little bit to sit down, read it over. I wouldn't necessarily write something if you are angry at someone.
Right.
I would give it some time to boil down. One thing I like to stress, and Joey, if you need to cut this part out, I understand. Bleeding Cool is always watching.
Sure.
Bleeding Cool is always watching. And, if you don't want to end up as a Bleeding Cool article in an hour or on BuzzFeed, don't.
Don't post. Don't post that don't post. Reactionary take, maybe. Think.
Don't post. And, this is not reactionary. It's a joke, but I once posted on Christmas one morning. It was obviously very much a joke that, I didn't get a pony. My life is terrible. Everything's so bad. This is the worst Christmas ever. And one of the editors for BuzzFeed saw it and started kind of, oh, well, look at that. You're so entitled. And I was like, you do realize it's a joke.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. And they were like, oh, I'm sorry. And like later on, they had posted something about like, these are really like 20 most selfish people on Twitter after Christmas. It's ungrateful. And I was like, so again, people are kind of watching for blow-ups and drama because
sure.
They get page clicks that way.
And it seems like negative usually gets a lot more support than something that's neutral or positive as far as
right.
Just the attention just in general. But it seems like especially social media amplifies that argument or that, this is why you suck, that you might post in a moment of anger
right.
or being reactionary.
Well, and something I want to point out, and this is especially true if you have a day job, is that it will live on in things like Google results. It will contribute to your SEO hit. So if you're saying these things under your real name, your professional account or things, the internet will remember. You might delete the tweets, but the Wayback Machine won't. The Library of Congress, who is archiving everything, won't. What else? Anyone who screenshot it won't. Like, and then your name is going to be attached to that when people start searching.
Right.
So as much as you try to backtrack, SEO will be able to, and Google is always redoing that algorithm so that, you know, you never know, it might dredge up an old shame tomorrow. So it's always a good call to kind of think before you speak so it doesn't follow you everywhere.
Right. It is permanent despite maybe your deletion.
Yeah. Right. And that's not necessarily something that I like about social media, because I think that I've seen people that have had old tweets from like 10 years ago dredged up, and they're like, oh, well, see, you're a terrible person. And like that tweet's literally 10 years old. Like, I've learned and moved on from that. Like, I've had a full decade to learn.
Right.
And not, you know, continue to be held accountable for things that they have long since held themselves accountable for. So that's always something to think about as well. You never know when it's going to get dredged up again. And again, I don't think that is a good or healthy aspect of the internet culture, but that is the reality.
Sure.
So, but on a positive, I'm gonna go with something positive, because we've been talking about some negative things. Engagement is great. Like I said, talk to fellow creators, but not just talk, but promote. Retweet really cool stuff that you see them doing. One thing that I know that people appreciate as well is being, if you're on Twitter, add people to lists, make lists, and be like, my favorite comic book artist or my favorite animator. People love that. People love knowing that you appreciate what they're doing.
Right.
If you can't financially support, I mean, if you can't buy a print for them or something, because we all have money and space issues sometimes, but just retweet their Patreons and say, hey, guys, promote, because trust me, when you go to start promoting your work, people will absolutely help. They'll reciprocate. There's a lot of positivity and reciprocity in the comics community. And I think Tumblr is a really good one for that.
Mm-hmm.
As well. I've heard of people that have gotten opportunities at like Boom, because they've impressed people with their Tumblrs. They've done fan art that people have really liked. They've gotten to cover
nice gigs.
It's good, but right, but that would not have happened had they not taken the time to kind of engage with the community and actually share things. Sharing is caring, guys. It's one of the first lessons we learn in school. that continues to apply. Another thing, and this is a positive as well, but be open to legitimate critique. I mean, legitimate critique is obviously not troll, but a completely different story. I could do a whole podcast episode on that, but I won't. if you're part of an artist community on Facebook, there's a few like private Facebook groups for comic book artists that can share what they're doing and say, hey guys, what do you think? It can hurt to hear people say, hey, this needs to be fixed, but listen. Just listen closely, because a lot of those artists aren't telling you those things. The majority of artists aren't giving you critique because they're trying to cut you down. They're doing it because they want to build you back up.
Mm.
Usually the people that give the best critiques are the ones that themselves have received really good critiques that they've talked to. And if you really don't think it works, just at least listen and say, hey, that's a cool idea. This is kind of why I'm doing it this way, but for next time I might consider experimenting with your way. I think that it's ultimately very helpful to workshop and work with other people.
That's a good perspective. I don't think about that enough. When you do see artists interacting, talking about maybe specifics of an image that they've drawn or somebody asking somebody a question, it is really helpful, and the constructive criticism always stands out. It's not, again, the default to you suck. Hey, this, you know, your arm could look different. Are you thinking about perspective? Where's the horizon? I mean, things that are coming from a place of, like you said, you want to improve. It's that sharing that knowledge of, hey, I've been at this 5 years, you're just starting, or I've been at it for 20 years and you've been at it for five, and just having those conversations. And I'm sure from a, a follower perspective, if you're just a reader, that's got to be great too, to eavesdrop on, oh, look at how they're sharing information and working with each other.
Right.
You know, it's such a cool thing to see artists that you like interacting, or writers that you like, or colors. Just the whole gamut of people creating comics and see what they do and how they do what they do. I didn't mean to derail that thought, but
No,
just
no.
the overall positive back and forth can, for lack of a better term, that kind of accentuates who you are as your personal brand, and goes, oh, these people are helpful, and they like to be told, here's a here is my take on your thing that you're asking about, and it makes such a huge difference in the perception of how those people interact.
Right, and I admit one of my favorite things to watch on Twitter, especially because this happens, I think, a lot more often on there, are writers, not writers, well, sometimes writers too, actually, writers, letterers, artists sharing the favorite tool. It's really fascinating to always see artists popping up and saying, you know, I used to be really dedicated to this type of pen, but then someone gave me one of these, and said, oh, it'll change your life, but oh my god, it did, I still love these old pens, but man, these new pens are real game changers, like, that was great to, these kinds of things are great to read, like, you get ideas that you would not have otherwise gotten, or exposure to ideas you wouldn't have otherwise gotten had you just kind of created in a void.
Right.
So, no, I definitely, again, social media is great for finding these out. That's kind of how I learned about Writer Duet for doing screenwriting. I was just reading about it on, I was just using Microsoft Word for writing stuff. So, no, and it was very helpful in organizing my thoughts and ideas. Another thing, too, is I want to stress to people that if you meet someone at a convention and get their contact information, do not be shy about following up. Obviously, do your follow-ups professionally.
Right.
But don't be shy about following them on Twitter and message and saying, hey, I really liked our talk at XYZ Con. But, look forward to seeing what you cover. People like that. They like knowing that you remembered what you guys talked about. They like that little personal touch.
Right.
I wouldn't be super shy about it. I wouldn't ramrod at people. Now, if you want me to share another horror story, I've seen media people. This isn't necessarily comics, this is media people on Twitter. They would go through the list of people that they followed, and then every person that they were following that wasn't following them back, they would publicly harass them, saying, why are you not following?
Oh, boy.
It was horrifying. Now that's the other thing, too, is that you might follow people whose work you really like, and you might talk to them on a regular basis, but you are still not owed a follow back.
Right, right.
You aren't owed a response back on Facebook. Like, I tend to be more public on my Twitter than I am on my Facebook. My Facebook's not even under my real name. It's,
sure.
It's like locked down to, I mean, it's not super locked down, but I keep a lot of really personal stuff off of that, but it's still slightly more personal because I'll talk about things on there like, dealing with perfectionism, things like that I don't necessarily want to be talking about publicly.
Right, right. No, I think a number of folks I know do that, where you don't want to put it out in that same sphere. And a lot of people also seem to not want to post, like you were talking about earlier, their whole MO is to not really go negative and say, like, oh, not to say that they aren't going to talk about feeling like, oh, I could have done this better, or I wish I were further along in my career, but it's the way that they approach it. And other stuff, is private Facebook groups or a Facebook page that's not as public, or, email to a friend to say, I could have done so much better, and my old work was terrible. I can't believe anybody ever read, it's all those things that you don't necessarily want to say publicly.
Right, right. I mean, it's all things that people probably assume you feel because, you're a creative person, but
right.
You don't necessarily, just because it's common knowledge, that's something that all creators deal with for the most part. That doesn't mean you necessarily want to discuss it. And that's kind of like, I'd kind of do that in a more private or a comparatively private area.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. A lot of people don't be offended if they don't add you back on Facebook, because they might just be like, look, I only met you once. I'd rather kind of like stick with this. And that's not, it's nothing personal
right.
to people. I would say if they don't want it, not to take it personally, it's just their boundary. Be okay with it. Don't be upset. Never ask people why they didn't. It's kind of a I mean, I can't say it's you can't do that because clearly you're able to, you
Right.
know, from a technical perspective, but it's a terrible idea to ask people why you didn't accept their friend request. It makes them feel very uncomfortable, violated. It makes them not want to work with you. Again, this person, the media person I was telling you about, who demanded follows from everybody, has not really gotten anywhere in their career because they upset and alienated a lot of people by acting like they were owed.
Right.
And so, speaking of followers, too, a very small don't that I like to push to is never buy followers. Because there are actually tools where you can plug in somebody's Twitter feed and Facebook feed and see what percentage of their followers are bots.
Right. Interesting.
And right, and if you do that, it will make you look like you're not legitimate. And that, you know, people, but again, though, like I was saying, those tools exist because people do look.
Right.
If you are just starting your comics career and you are talking to an editor, and that editor sees it, even though they've never heard of you before, you have 15,000 followers,
Right.
they're going to be like, wait, I'm in this industry. How do I not know who you are if
Sure.
15,000 people know who you are and you don't belong to any other kind of big deal industry? Like, what is your deal? They are going to check and they will know that you were trying to pull a fast one on them. So, you know, you're better off with your two legitimate followers talking to people than you are buying followers. Especially because a lot of times too, you'll spend the money, but those bots are going to shut down.
Interesting.
So, yeah,
Well,
it's really a waste of money.
overall perception is something that we touched a little bit on when you were giving me the overview of what you like to kind of address in a 101. And I thought you had some great takeaway for how to kind of think about, like, if you do have a Twitter or Tumblr, if you have multiple accounts, how to think about approaching that. And it's one of those things I think when you enact it, you see in retrospect, like, oh yeah, of course, I should have been consistent. But if you could talk a little bit about kind of that consistency that you think people should have across platforms and in the way that they, their perception of how they look, and maybe not even necessarily anything tonally, but just the visual presentation.
Right. Well, like we were talking about, consistency across platforms, having the same style of imagery. You don't necessarily have to have the same picture for like your Facebook or your Twitter. It's kind of common that a lot of people have like a more personal picture of themselves in their Twitter, but like a logo or a picture of one of their characters on Facebook. I'm not saying necessarily things like that, but visual consistency in terms of what colors you use, trying to use consistent colors. If you are having a if you're using different pictures for Twitter and Facebook, at least try and make it in the same style. Show that you are paying attention
Right.
and that you care enough about your followers to give them something really clean and interesting to look at. Another thing to think about too is that Facebook will only let you post pictures that have less than 20% of text to it. So I wouldn't put anything super text heavy. Because it makes it impossible to promote. They won't let you promote it.
Interesting.
And that is something to consider too. That's probably more of a 102 is when to pay for promotions or not. We can always do a follow-up if you want on that sort of thing. But in general, I would try to coordinate color, imagery, and style in between all of your social media accounts and your website. So I don't think a lot of people always think about website when they think of social media, but kind of the ultimate point for both is to drive people to your website to look at what you've been up to, what you've been working on. So again, try to make a really nice website. You can do that for free or cheap on platforms like Squarespace and Weebly and places like that. I actually pay someone for mine, but I didn't have to. But no, and that's and I try to keep, and this is of course a matter of do as I say, not as I do, but try it and update your website consistently as well. Give them the most updated things to look at. Again, you never know who you might be looking at. I have had friends that have just been like, oh, this artist that I've always loved and worked with, they complimented my stuff. They found it through a friend that I met at a convention. Like, you never know who's looking. You never know what opportunities you might get.
Right.
So definitely, and again, you want to impress people. So, I think consistency also shows not only that you pay attention, but that you care about the user experience.
Right. Consistency, best foot forward, and yeah, that's a good way to look at that. I don't know if you have more that you want to get through. I know we've been talking for a bit, and it's one of those things that, again, you just try to put your arms around it and think about, like, what is this? We could keep going down multiple rabbit holes, but I think it's a really good overview of what people, when you're thinking about your social media presence, your online presence, how you do your thing in comics, how you want to interact with people, how you want to network, how you want to interact with readers, discover an artist to work with, discover a writer to work with. There are just so many different avenues now where you can go, oh yeah, that person's great. I love being able to follow their stuff. Or they've been doing a webcomic for a year and a half. They've been posting a page a week. We should definitely get with them and see if they want to do covers or whatever it is. It seems like there's such a many different ways to approach social media, but also to benefit from it if that is indeed your bag.
Well, there is a whole warren full of rabbit holes that we could be going down in here. It's basically Watership Down up in here. I do have a little bit. I have some notes from a while ago about some of the presentation that I gave actually through Comics Experience last year, and I did one at Comic Palooza about being a colleague and a fan, which I think is something it's unique to the entertainment industry, is that you are working with people that you are a fan of, probably in some cases that you've been a fan of since you were a kid. And working on that, I have sometimes gotten starstruck working with, local comedians whose work I really like.
Sure.
But you also have to learn how to be a responsible fan, but also a professional colleague. I wouldn't be diminishing or dismissive of anybody whose experiences are different than yours. And another thing too is, don't be afraid to show people your work either. If they mention that they are receptive to it, send it to them. I've seen comic book editors say, hey, I'm looking for some people to do some quick proofreading. Send me your resume.
Nice.
Don't be afraid to do that. Like, don't be afraid to jump on opportunities. I actually do retweet opportunities that I see on the Comic Experience Twitter.
Nice.
There was someone looking for a letterer recently. That popped up. There's people that are looking for sensitivity readers and beta readers and editors and proofreaders. So if they have made themselves receptive. Now, there's a lot of people, too, that don't like being spammed. So you have to kind of do your research first and
right.
Stuff them out. Make sure that you're not bothering anyone. But, like, in person, I've given other creators that I really like copies of my writing.
Nice.
But the thing is, don't take it personally either if they don't read it. And that's something that actually all of them have told me when I get it. Like, if I don't read it and I don't like anything, they're like, it's nothing against you. I'm just literally super busy. And they're like, we try to read everything that we get, but it's not always possible. And, don't take that personally. They're not reading it because they've got something against you. They're not reading it because they're just busy just like you.
Exactly.
So, the other big thing too is, just be a good member of the community, get back into it. I've been really impressed with how many people, this is recent, but, comics Twitter was super supportive of everybody who's definitely going through, Harvey and Irma.
Right.
I saw Gail Simone asking, day one of Harvey, what comic book stores need our help, and I will pay to fly down and do a signing to help them rebuild if necessary.
Wow.
I don't think any comic book store actually took damage, funny enough. But again, people were going out of their way to find all of the Houston comic book stores and send them to her and say, hey, let her know if you need her, things like that. the community does come together when it needs to. There's definitely a lot of drama in it, but fun fact, having worked in multiple industries, it's going to be across the board. It's just sometimes I think comic wears its drama a little more on its sleeve and a little more publicly on social media than some industries, but it's not at all endemic just to just to comics. So where's the rest of my notes? That's it in terms of being a colleague and a fan as well. And the other thing I forgot to bring up too, business cards are also part of your social media. It probably sounds weird because it's physical, but no, definitely have some cards available at conventions, even if you're not tabling, when you meet people and talk to people. Again, this is a do as I say, not as I do, because I still need some business cards. There's a lot of local comic book stores that will let you put out flyers of your work, or just stacks of your business cards. I would avoid giving yourself any title that says ninja, guru, or rock star in it, because unless you are literally a ninja or a guru or a rock star, don't do that, because ultimately, outside of those, those don't really have any real meaning to it. They're kind of meaningless words.
Sure.
Outside of their original context. And of course, make sure it's all up to date. Try and have colors that match the colors in your social media, and be sure to include them on your business card. So it's kind of interesting that we're kind of, with comics especially, physical media still is relevant in terms of networking and your name out there. Do you have any other questions, Joey? I could bring up everything.
I think, that's sometimes the byproduct of trying to give an overview can be kind of the fire hose of here's everything, which is a great starting point to start to drill down into looking at, hey, I really do love Tumblr and I'm an artist and I want to keep posting stuff and interacting. And so much of it is, it's kind of like you said, you just got to jump in after a while and just sort of see what you like and see what the effect is. So I think it's been a good overall conversation and direction. Is there a place people should go to look for you online? Where do you like to direct people?
I spend most of my Twitter time on the Comic Experience Twitter. But you can also find me on my name on Twitter @FindMeredithNudo. I also have a website, hardcorenudoty.com, N-U-T-O-T-Y, because that's a pun, har-har.
N-U-D-O,
N-U-D-O-T-Y. Yeah, that's the etymology of that last name is also a podcast in and of itself.
that'll be the next step, making last names.
There we go.
I'm sure Andy will add that.
Oh yeah, no, and I tell people sometimes that my pen name is my real name. I was like, well, I can't make this up. It's a legitimate last name. It's just anyway, but if you're given a weird last name, you may as well make a pun out of it. So hardcorenudoty.com is my poorly updated website. Spent this whole time telling you guys do this and. Granted, to be fair, a lot of my day job is updating other people's websites.
Sure.
So when I get home, I'm just like, nah. Hardcore Nudo Tea also is my public Facebook page as well.
Excellent. Well, if you have a question that you would like to hear talked about on the show, you can tweet info@comicexperience, or tweet. You can email info@comicsexperience. You can tweet Comic Experience, and that'll be Meredith or one of the other folks that's on Twitter, and we will happily talk about it on the show. You can also check out comicsexperience.com, which has all the things that are happening and the classes, as well as the workshop, the creators forum that you can go over and join and get active, which is that's a whole other ball of wax in forum participation. So I'm sure you have have many thoughts there too, being someone who's taken some of the classes and done some of the other done editing work and we didn't even talk about kickstarting and how to approach that.
No.
And so many things.
I know, like we said, it's a whole rabbit hole, but you know, it isn't always just me on the Twitter and Facebook too. Nicole posts on there, Jennifer does, Andy does sometimes. Funny fact of the comics experience, and this kind of ties in with everything we've been talking about, reputation management. The comics experience Twitter feeds directly into Andy's personal Facebook page.
Always a blast.
Every once in a while, it'll pop up in my Facebook feed. I'll see it and I'll be like, suddenly Andy sounds like a millennial woman. I was like, dang, that's me. So again, you know, if you're doing social media for a company, that's something you also have to think about too. Is, are there any linked accounts?
That's a very good thought. That's a very good point.
So, thank you so much, Joey. It's really appreciative being here. And if, again, if people have questions, that's why I'm here.
Same here. Thank you for your time. And it's been a very good conversation. Hard to condense into 140 characters, which is not a bad thing. All right. Until next time, keep making the comics.